Subway, it's kind of easier. It's like, oh, I just bought buns and meat.
Yeah.
I can see it. I can physically see that I have to sell this stuff. You don't get buns and meat in real estate. It's I'm putting out 10 grand in marketing and I'm just going to do this and hope it comes back. When they see bank account go from 50 to 40, most employees will be like, oh, I've never seen this side of the coin before.
Yeah.
I've always just showed up and I just do my 9 to 5.
Yeah, it becomes real.
It's now fear.
Yeah.
And fear starts to become a wall, and wall starts to stop them from moving forward. And now they're just dead in the tracks.
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley. Today we have a special guest, Cody Hoffine. Dude, welcome to the show.
Such an honor to be here. This is like quick meeting, by the way. We didn't know each other, but maybe a couple days ago.
Yeah.
We all have the same contact that knows everyone.
Resources, networking, relationships. This is how you grow and expand your life, your finances, your mind. This is how you evolve. You evolve through people and relationships, really, is what it comes down to. And I'm grateful for Justin to be the middleman in introducing us, you know. So I'm excited to get to know more about you, your story.
Yeah.
Because everybody that's seen any level of success has a horror story.
Sure.
You know, behind it. It's not. Yeah. So tell us a little. One, you're up north, right?
I am from Salt Lake.
Salt Lake.
Okay. Yep. So, my wife and 4 kids have one of them in studio with us today.
Yeah.
Because what I just heard over the last 10 minutes, I wish it was recording, because I was just like, who's this guy that runs this far and how long?
Oh,
because?
Yeah. Well, somebody asked me the other day at the gym, they're like, well, why do you do that? And I said, well, it gives me undeniable proof that I'm not average.
Yeah.
If you wake up and do that every single day, like, what type of evidence are you giving your mind that you're different? Like, undeniable evidence that you should have a level of belief in yourself that you're deserving more than the average person. Because I believe that if you don't feel deserving of a specific result, you'll burn it all down.
Sure.
Right? Like, you have to build yourself up through the process of actually building your finances up, right? Like, how many people, celebrities or athletes, have made a bunch of money and they're skilled in a certain area, right? Baseball, football, singers, whatever it is, actors, and they make all this money and then they're broke, right? 5 years later, 10 years later.
It's the identity.
It's the identity, right? Like, we're just this work in progress, and I just want to make my life as much of a masterpiece as I possibly can and always focus on myself for the people that I love and I care about. I believe that we're all an example to the people that we love and care about. And so we might as well show them what extracting your full potential looks like. And hopefully I'm living a life that is doing that for the people that I love and care about and makes them question, could I be doing more? What else?
Yeah.
What else am I leaving in the tank, so to speak, right? And so that's kind of my mindset around
it. Start that off. So, let me tell you, just in the 2 seconds we've known each other, I'm a better man being around you. So
Thank you.
I sat here and listened to what you just did. I'm like, I haven't done that. I haven't even thought of doing that.
Well,
there's some incredible stuff that you're doing.
Thank you.
Inspires me, man.
Yeah.
So,
thank you. Enough about me.
Hey,
the listeners know enough about me.
Hey, but that's probably more inspiring.
That's
why they're here.
Yeah. They know the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, and that they've watched me literally grow over the last, 5 years into the individual that I am. And to be quite honest with you, the listeners don't even know how much they've impacted me, right? Like, when you have a platform like this and you have people listening to you and you're telling them, hey, you should evolve, you should challenge yourself, you should extract your full potential, and yet you go to the gym 4 or 5 days a week and you're doing the same thing that you've always done, but you're giving yourself credit for doing something hard. And it was hard to the old version of you when you started doing it, but it's no longer hard to you. It's now just who you are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So how are we turning up the heat in our own life to really make sure that we are challenging the version of us that we are today so that we can continue to evolve? And I had to ask myself that question at one point. I'm like, okay, I have this, and I'm telling people to do this,
yeah,
but I'm giving myself credit
because I have evolved from the person that I was,
yeah.
but then I've created a ceiling for myself,
yeah.
right? And giving myself credit for evolving from this guy, but what's the evolution of who I am today? Yeah. Where am I going, right? Yeah. And so they've kind of forced me to look inward a little bit and challenge myself in ways that I never thought I would challenge myself just to live in integrity.
Sure.
Because if I'm telling somebody else to do it, I damn well better be doing it myself.
That's right.
Right. So anywho.
No, you're the one people will call crazy.
Yeah.
But crazy are the rule changers.
Yeah.
Crazy are the leaders that make a difference. Crazy is the one that brings impact that will have generational changes. And I love what you're doing. And
yeah.
and to that I say, take the badge of crazy.
Yeah.
I love crazy people. I don't know. I'm inspired yeah. by this, my friend. Okay. I really am.
Well, tell me about you, dude. Tell me about you. Like,
how far do you want me to go back? Like, where are we going? Are we going down memory lane so they can hear what this goes like? Yeah.
Well, I want to know the come up. You know, I want to know the backstory because it's cool to talk about success and all that, but you know, very few people ever reach that because very few people will ever be able to endure the pain and go through what they need to go through in order to get there. But I also like letting people know that what they're going through isn't unique, you know, when they're on the path to trying to achieve something great, right?
I think when they see someone like you, I think your audience is like, yeah, but you're Trev, man. Like, I'm not Trev, right? And sometimes we put people on a pedestal and we don't realize that you're not an overnight success.
Yeah.
You are an overnight success that took 20, 30, 40 years, right? Like, well, you're what, 39?
Yeah.
So it's like, it takes time. Jim Rohn says, it's the mysteries of the mind. What makes you drive? What makes me drive to wake up and want to go out and do something different than just what the majority do? How do you be above average so that you are not just amongst the majority?
Yeah.
I don't know. Other than I've always had a driver since as a little kid. It does help that I was born of incredible parents that they were entrepreneurs themselves. My mom ran an incredible home. My dad ran an incredible construction business. Now, this is what you see as a little kid.
Yeah.
It's an incredible construction business. Like my dad, when it was tight, we never knew it. Like kids, we never knew him. It was like, hey guys, because he knew how to make it fun. Hey, mom's even going to come out to the warehouse where we're going to be putting together these walls and stuff. Why don't you guys bring your scooters? Like, this is going to be an incredible time to ride your scooters around and just be in the warehouse
That's
and do
cool.
what you want to do. And we're out till work, till 10 p.m. thinking, look at this. Like, we get to ride scooters in this warehouse that he's building for this guy. And
that's cool.
He didn't have a team. He didn't have a crew. He didn't have money. We didn't know this. To us, we thought he was the greatest dad in the world.
What kind of what industry was he in?
So general construction, but most of it was commercial. So like R.C. Woolley's not down here in St. George. There's like some kind of clause that they can't compete with people down here. But R.C. Woolley's in Vegas. There's a couple. There's one in Henderson, Summerlin. There's one in Reno, Sacramento. We built all those.
Okay.
And so my dad's company was the one that did that. So I had, and it got better at the year. So I'm talking when I was a little kid, but then my dad, every free moment, like I thought weekends were meant to just go to the sand dunes. Like I thought every kid did that. Like my dad just, we were always
doing
something, having fun, making mistakes by jumping too far and getting injured for a minute and then all of a sudden getting on the four-wheeler and trying it again. Like I was put into a great environment. And why is it that some get that and some don't? I don't know. Fortunate enough to be there. And my goal was always to, I could never work for someone, although I worked for my dad for quite some time when I first got married. He slows down construction and starts marketing so that people come into the stores, but we're not going to fix the stores right now. Like we're going to put that on hold and we're just going to draw in the crowds to just buy furniture. So my dad and mom, they're just incredible people and they would just keep paying me. There was no work. There was no work at all. But I said, Dad, I can't do this. Like there was something in me that said, when you said, hey, so many times we say this, but then we don't act upon it.
Yeah.
It's the same moment. I felt it like I can't do this with my dad. I can't dwindle his bank account just for the sake of keeping a kid that there's no work happy. So I left and got a sales job selling vinyl fencing of all things. All of this stacks up hindsight, but it was the scariest thing ever to go to my mom and dad's house and say, I'm no longer going to work for you. I was crying. I was like,
how old are you?
I was, this would have been in 2010. So that's 14 years ago. So I was 26.
Okay.
So I go there and I'm crying because they're like my heroes. Like I worked for my whole life, lived with them my whole life. I'm married now, but I've worked for them my whole life. And so it was hard and they didn't understand. They're like, no, we're fine. Like everything's going to be just fine. And it wasn't fine.
So I go and get a job at Best Vinyl, and I am not qualified. I have zero education. I have no after high school education, other than a drive to just show up at this interview and win this job out of 40 other candidates. In that time, I meet my, what would be at 2016, so I'll kind of bounce around for a second, my business partner from 2016 to current. Mm. So when you see how God's in the details, he is like the creator of like, hey, here's this path, and I can redirect you, but trust that hindsight, you're going to see what's going on. I meet him. I sell vinyl fencing. I meet a bunch of people that are insurance agents of all things. And they're like, why are you selling a fence? Like, this is a one-time sell. Why don't you sell insurance where there's reoccurring like income? Yeah, and I'm like, you're speaking my language.
Sell
like,
once, get sense. Paid over and over. Yeah.
What they didn't say is in 2010, when I started my agency, that I'd make $19,000 that first year. And I had two kids at the time, mortgage payment. Thank goodness we were out of debt. That was one thing. Before we had kids, me and my wife hunkered down. We paid off everything except for our home. And that was rough. I mean, that was the first beginning of my first stab at entrepreneurship. And I brought home, not from a lack of drive, not a lack of work,
$19,000. It's just the industry. Anytime that you're getting into an industry that's reoccurring, you know, any sort of insurance type stuff,
brutal.
That's annual or monthly payments, You have to be willing to live on top of ramen for like 2 to 5 years.
Or go without.
And yeah, just flat out go without. And build, like, that's somebody that understands what their future wants to look like. Not,
that's right.
You know, 6 months or, and let's get real, like anytime that you start any business, it's going to be minimum of 2 to 5 years of a grind anyways. So whether it's insurance or something else, and you're putting your own money up front to go do something, it takes, anything that's great takes time. Yeah. And the longer that it takes, the greater it probably is, right? Yeah.
This is absolutely true. And it was the case for me. I hope what listeners get out of this is it's hard. It's not easy.
Yeah.
It is hard. Entrepreneurship is I think, could be made for everyone if you're willing to go through the hard. But I looked at it early. That I was taught this, and they said, pick your suck. Like, it's going to suck starting a business, but it's going to suck working for someone the rest of your life. And then come to 60 years old when you think there's a retirement and there's no retirement.
Yeah.
And you still got to go work and find out what's going to go happen. But now at 60 year old, you're going to probably get paid $15 an hour. Like, pick your suck. Which one's going to suck worse? That one. So I'm going to go through the grind.
I just messaged somebody yesterday, an individual that is in our Inner Circle Mastermind. He sent a message, a DM on Instagram, and said, hey, thank you. I needed that. Like, I posted a quote or something like that. And I said, bro, when you're striving for greatness, it's exhausting. But when you're a loser and living a loser life, that's also exhausting.
That's right.
Like, it doesn't matter.
That's
like,
right.
That's I think a huge problem in society is, you know, there was another individual that reached out and says, man, when I get home, I'm just exhausted. Like this, I'm like, and so do you not think anybody, like the person that works at Arby's, the person that works at Burger King, like when they get off of work and it's 10 o'clock, they're probably getting home and they're tired too.
That's right.
Like, it doesn't matter who you are. That emotion is not unique just to you.
That's right.
Like, this is the part of the price that you have to pay in order to get what it is that you say that you want. And if you're not willing to pay that price, then you don't want that thing that you thought you wanted as bad as you really wanted it. And that's just right. A fact.
Exactly.
Like, the amount of pain that you're willing to endure on the back end of that will be equal to the result that you're going to receive. Yeah. You know, the individual, the greats, it doesn't matter whether you're talking about Kobe or whatever, or, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, Kobe's schedule, getting up at 4:30, you know, working out before the teams work out. I'm sure there was a lot of brutal days in there where he was exhausted, just like the other people that are saying, oh man, this is tiring. Cool. That is also tiring. But what do you want on the back end of your life? Like, we could either pay up front with our efforts and our result for the result later, or we take it easy up front and we're going to pay on the back end.
That's right.
There's always going to be a payment, right? And so take it easy, chill, live a good life, do nothing, hover on couches, sleep at your butt, you know, until you're 30, 40, whatever. But guess what? You're going to experience a lot of pain from the age of 40 to probably death.
That's right.
Right? I would rather give up the years of, you know, 25 to 35 in order to have the rest of my life. And I endured a lot of pain over that
10-year period, 12-year period.
That's right.
But again, people need to be speaking with their actions. Everybody says that they want it, but your actions really will
speak louder than words, right?
That's the true separator, right? Everybody wants abs. Everybody wants the big bank account. Everybody wants the nice car or the nice house or to have their stuff paid off. You know, like when you said, oh, yeah, well, luckily we had it's not luckily. You did
we
that.
Hunkered down.
Yeah, you did that by design.
Yeah.
You know, like when I decided that I wanted to be successful, I was making $120,000, $130,000 a year. Me and my wife purposely found the cheapest townhouse that we possibly could. It was $750 a month. The carpet was absolutely just beat to hell, right? It's just stained. It was like, I don't know what these stains are. This is dangerous, you know? We got carpet cleaner in there, but it's like nothing came up. You know, did somebody get killed in here or what? You know, blood stain or somebody just spilled some salsa? Anybody's guess in that neighborhood. Driving a $3,000 Mitsubishi Lancer with no air conditioning when it's 110, 115 degrees in the summer. You know, so it was like, how low can we possibly go in terms of survival and how much money could we bring in?
Yeah.
And the difference there was going to determine how quickly I can get the outcome that I wanted. How long can I sustain this lifestyle and that sacrifice, and how much money can I make? Can I live off of less than 10% of my income and save the rest? I still live by that principle today.
That's solid. Still, that's absolutely solid.
When we bought our first house for $252,000, we stayed in that house for 12 years. And the year that, I mean, it was a seven-figure year. I could have paid for that house six times over, and I was still living in the $252,000 house.
Yeah.
So then the house that I bought and the property that I have now, I was able to pay seven figures cash for that. So again, still, my lifestyle is still very little because I have everything now paid off.
Yeah.
And my income is high.
Yeah.
So the principle that served me in the very, very beginning, saying, okay, make 120, 130 grand a year, live off of little, allowed me to stack cash. And I'm a big believer that opportunity seeks only two things: an individual that's highly skilled or money.
That's right.
So if you're a programmer and I want to develop an app, and you say, hey, I have this skill, I can develop that. Why don't I trade my time, my skill, and own 10% of that or 20% of that, and we'll partner? And I'll say, okay, I'd want to partner. You bring a skill to the table that I don't have, right? So, or you have money. Opportunity will find money. It always does. It's just they're meant to be together. And, you know, the fairy, whatever, that shoots the arrow hits the opportunity and the money, and they find each other, right?
That's right.
So I was like, okay, I'm not very skilled. I need money.
Yeah.
Live off of little, stack cash. The funny thing is, opportunity found my money eventually, and here we are, you know. So,
well, 19,000, I don't know if you can live off 10% of that. That was bad. It was bad. It was rough. It was really rough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's under the bridge rough.
It was really rough.
Homeless rough.
Here's the cool thing is the principle taught to me was you be a steward of what you have. Steward of what little you have. Even though it's little, be a good steward of it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, no matter how, what lifestyle you have, like 19,000 just doesn't cut it. Here was cool though. Here's where if I say, man, I am grateful to a God that put me in places with people better than me.
Yeah.
That I would learn from along the whole history line. And even today, I can say the same thing. Like, why is it that I continually get in these groups of these people where I'm just like, thank you. Like, you know the details. Yeah. You know where I need to be. I had an individual that would come by with, like, every often. And he was maybe 3, 4, 5 years older than me. We didn't know he did very well because he was in our same neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Someone making $1 million living in a $250,000 home.
Yeah.
Same scenario with this guy. He would come over and he'd bring, like, shakes from Dairy Queen. He'd say, hey, just thinking about you guys, here's some shakes. And I'm like, dude, Dan, thank you so much. You didn't need to do that. And he's like, no, don't worry about it. Love doing it. And he'd just walk off. And we'd go inside and we'd look under the shake, and there'd be like a $100 bill, like money taped to the bottom of these cups. He'd bring over cookies, taped to the bottom plate, money. And it happened to be the money that we needed for that month. Like, when I say someone being inspired, we didn't wear it on our faces that we were poor. Like, yes, we did all these things. When I say people, how do you get into entrepreneurship? I'll tell you what it looked like. It looked like driving a $1,000 Honda Civic that had a bumper that was held on with baling wire. And I was going up I-15 and I was going 55 miles an hour, which was 10 miles an hour too fast for that car. And the bumper flew off and almost nailed the car behind me. My wife driving a $2,500 forest green minivan, Honda, the Honda Odyssey.
Odyssey, yeah.
It came in kilometers because it came from Canada. We thought, we didn't know what the miles were even on this thing. The AC goes out. So when you're saying the AC goes out, we have a guy that ran Big O Tires. He's like, I'll take it in. I don't think it'll cost that much. He ends up doing all the work, everything, doesn't bring me a bill. He's like, I got this taken care of. So when I say people placed in my life at the right time, we also didn't keep up with the Joneses. I love this story about, hey, we didn't act like I'm going to make this work. So we're going to buy the cheapest house out there and we're going to make this work. We were in the cheapest house out there. Incredible people around us, surrounding us. Date night was going to West Jordan Park and holding hands. My mom would come over and watch our kids. My mom didn't know we were this broke, by the way, because I didn't want her to know because I left their company.
Yeah.
And so I'm broke as can be. We would drive off like we're going somewhere and we'd park two streets over, get out and just hold hands. So my mom would watch the kids and that was date night. And if we're lucky, we'd get like an ice cream cone or something and split that. Entrepreneurship has a cost. It has a sacrifice. It has a being a good steward. It doesn't mean keep up with the Joneses. You got to make decisions that are hard.
Yeah.
I remember going to family parties and they called us the state park rangers coming up because it was the forest green minivan coming. Like it was like we were the joke of your family.
Yeah.
And so it was hard.
I'm sure that's flipped now. Huh?
That's flipped. Let's flip. Yeah. Now my dad's like, hey, how do I park money with you? How do you lend it out and do that for me? And I'm like,
So do you take on people's money and invest it and manage other people's money? Is that
or financial advisor by all means?
Yeah.
But yeah, we're always looking for capital because we're always buying homes here in Utah. We're always buying homes in North Carolina just for ourselves. But then more importantly, we're growing. We franchised what we do. And so we have 95 franchisees throughout the nation who always need access to capital for either fix and flips or if they're going to just simply take it down and then fix it up a little bit or like clean it up a little bit, put it back on the market. So capital's always, always needed. And that's kind of what I do is the real estate space is it's on the investment side.
So how did that start? How did that start? Like, I mean, you went from the vinyl sales guy
to insurance stacking BBs, right?
To the insurance and then finding your business partner.
Yep.
So there had to be like,
there was a tie,
a wild hair, whatever. One day is just, did you know somebody that was in real estate or you just like, man, this real estate thing seems sexy. Like I want to try it. Or
I had the inspired thought to insure investors. I'm like, they've got rentals. They've got fancy cars. They must have big houses. This is my concept of investors. So I built this up in my head. I'm like, where do they meet? So I just Googled and I said, where do they meet? And it said Salt Lake Real Estate Investor Association once a month. I'm like, cool, right there. It was $100 for a membership for the year. I'm like, done. I went to these meetings, but I never went to listen to this real estate.
You were going to sell.
Seriously, I was there from 2010 until 2015. I'll get to a point where this was a pivotal moment. I was going once a month, every single month for 5 years. And I was going and listening when they'd say, like, yeah, so I have a portfolio of about 20 rentals. I'm like, that's my guy. I'm going to sell 20 rental policies to this guy after this. And I would just connect with these guys. I end up insuring the most fix and flip investors. And then they just started passing me around like wildfire and helped me build my book. It sounds sexier than it really is, but that's the angle I took.
Mm-hmm.
2015, there's like the summer months. We're talking about like the, okay, these months were good, but then there's months where it's like, no one's talking about insurance. So renewals are going to be low. One of those months come up and it happened to be with a couple expensive months for little things on our house. So I come home early from work. I catch my wife crying and she's like, do we put food on the table or do we pay our mortgage? So this is the real life story of entrepreneurship. This is 5 years into entrepreneurship and it's still this. And I end up again, not coincidentally, the next day is the meeting for that Salt Lake Real Estate Investor Association. I go in with it, just a different set of ears. This guy stands up and he says, hey guys, I found this deal. I put it under contract. I ended up not wanting it. I whole sold it to another investor. I made $24,000 and I did it in 3 days. And I just like,
I'm in the wrong industry.
Yeah, Mal, what is this? I'm driven. I'm hungry. I'll do whatever it takes to do that. But I made 19,000 in 365 days. You're telling me you made 24 in three? There's something's not adding up. Well, I insured all this stuff. So I trusted the guy. I went up to him and I said, how do I do this? Like, I'm ready to change my life. And here's his honest answer. He says, Cody, you're one of the most driven individuals I've ever met. I feel if I teach you, I train my biggest my biggest competitor in the state of Utah. And I was a little frustrated because it was like a little sting.
Let me in. Yeah.
Like it's a little sting. And I'm like, I'm of the mindset of abundance. I've always been there to help someone out or pull someone else up. If someone's lower than me, great. You come along.
Yeah.
Like I'm going to help you. And I'm always looking up for someone to pull me up. And it wasn't the case here. So I ended up going online and finding a coach from Florida.
Wow.
And 39 days later, teach me how to wholesale. I found my first deal and it paid me $24,000. And it was at that point, it was like faith to fact. I was like,
and
from there, it just snowballed and kept going forward.
So you said, peace out to insurance.
Well, I still owed it.
I
sold in 2017. In fact, the last half of that sell is this April. So I still have money coming to me till April. But yeah, that was, I sold it in 2017, but in 2015, I put a staff in place and I'm like, guys, you won't see me often. So you're going to be writing these policies. You're going to be meeting the loan officers
I'll
to get more
business.
Like, I'm going to keep doing this real estate. And then in 2016, I partnered with the guy I met at Best Final. He started doing it. I told him about it. Cause again, abundant mindset. We're all going to the ocean with 5 gallon buckets.
Yeah.
I don't care what industry you're in. There is more than enough business for every one of us. I've never had a scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
So we went out there and 2016, we gained this like massive market share in Utah where everyone's like, who are these guys? Like, where are they coming from? We don't even know these guys.
Yeah.
This guy was an insurance agent. This guy was selling vinyl fencing and they just beat all of our companies.
Wow.
And it was just fun because we were just.
So what did that process look like? Were you guys just beating up the phones? Like, where were you getting your leads?
At that time, it was direct mail. And direct mail still works, but it's very condensed. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to the point where we're sending like 10,000 pieces a week.
Gotcha.
Now it's kind of like
generating call-ins.
Yeah. So people would call and say, I got your postcard that you buy homes cash. We go out and meet with them and see if we can strike up a deal and put it together. So we were willing to invest. Again, there's a cost to entrepreneurship. Like, but people can see it as an expense or an investment. I would much rather go 20 grand into debt voting on Cody Hoffine and go to the casino of life and vote on me with 20 grand of debt than give it to a college.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I looked at it. That's literally how simple my mind looked at it. Do I want to give it to college or do I want to give it to Cody? And if it doesn't fail, is it really any different? Like if this business fails, is there really any difference on that trade 2020? I don't see it, me personally. So I went all in on me.
So did you then open like a, you know, I know that some people, and are you're still doing wholesale stuff or?
Yeah, wholesaling, fix and flip. And then teach them how to also do buy and holds to keep them for rentals.
So I know some people in the industry and they end up kind of doing the call center thing.
Yeah.
Where they're generating calls or they're calling out. Did you guys ever get to the point where you built out a call center so that you could, you know, with dialers and stuff like that so that you could, I mean, it's about numbers, right?
Yes, it is about numbers.
It's just a numbers game. The more dials that you can get out there, the more mailers you can get out there.
That's right.
It's just, again, you know, more lines in the water, so to speak.
It is. So we built out that floor, and as well, digital marketing is huge. I mean, the world's going digital.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can catch someone on a day when they get the mailer, and they're like, hey,
I'm ready.
This is great. They call.
Yeah.
But that timing, it has to be pretty magical, right?
Yeah.
You can do it last week, and it doesn't make sense. And this week, something tragic happened where they lost the job. And it's like, that's a whole different thing now, and we're only a week apart from when I failed it, right? Digital marketing, so pay-per-click, Facebook, Google Ads, all that. That's where a lot of this is driving now.
Yeah.
Is we just pay to play in
your
that.
Areas or what?
People just go in and click who can buy my home for cash and we pop up.
Mm.
And so digital marketing is really, really the big, I would say the big needle mover
driver.
Now. And if you're not in that game, it's harder.
So do you feel like that you have to play in that game because of the size that you are and that you have a bunch of franchises? Is that part of your responsibility? Is to do the marketing for these franchises and make sure that they have leads, or is there like a marketing expense that they pay to you guys for you guys to then, so, like, how does that?
Just a little bit slight different from both of those. So we direct them. That's what made us unique from, there's really only one other company in this space is like a monopoly in this franchise space for real estate investing.
Yeah.
They would take it, and then whatever you got, you got. It's very autonomous. They keep their money. We show them how to spend their money and then how to go out and go get that deal from that lead that comes in. What that does, it drives the cost per dollar down drastically versus sending it into to mothership, sending it to the hub. On top of that, it would be like a round robin. This is like, no, you paid for all that marketing.
Yeah.
That has your unique number on it. Someone may not call for 6 months, but you spent money 6 months ago. They held under your postcard. You deserve that, right? And they're like, yeah. Well, the other approach was it's round robin. So this lead came in 6 months later, but you're not on the docket. It's now Trev's turn to get it. Mm. So you get his lead. It just doesn't work that way. Like it's not a great vehicle for it. So we've created a way where they really win. Because at the end of the day, I don't win. I love being a franchisor because I don't win unless they win.
Mm.
So my biggest goal when I wake up with a smile on my face is how do I make them win at a high, high level?
Yeah.
Because the bigger they win, the bigger I win.
There was an individual that was in wholesale that was like, in any neighborhood at any given time, and he said a number, and I forget what that number was. He's like, whatever, 1 in 5 households. Let's, this is just as an example, right? They're going through something.
Yeah.
Whether it's a divorce, a death, he called it something like the D's or something, divorce, death, or whatever.
Yeah.
Losing their job, something like something's going on. Like, this is this thing called life that's going to happen to every single one of us, right? Where we're going to get into a pinch or a tough time.
Yeah.
And he said the same thing. He says, you have to hit, you know, you can send these mailers out or you could reach out to these people. The idea is if you reach out to enough people, you're going to find the people that just barely got into a bind or they're in a bad situation and they want to relieve themselves of the bad situation, right? And you want to, you know, be there and be available when that happens so that you can offer cash for their home and you get a little bit of a discount because you're removing a lot of the stress and a lot of the headache of having to list and having to have people walk in and out of your house and have to get a real estate agent and do show, you know, whatever, right?
That's right.
And so I think sales is an amazing thing for anybody because it teaches you so much about entrepreneurship and about success just in general, rejection, fighting, competition, enduring, you know, all of those and the ups and downs of different commission levels that you might hit this week and then not that week and the feast and the famine. But it's definitely, I look at it as a vehicle to get you somewhere else, right? I believe that 6 figures is the perfect opportunity to set you up for 7 figures, depending on how you use the money and how you live, right?
That's right.
And so if you start, you know, I see these young, we both live in Utah, so there's 1 billion young salespeople, door-to-door, you know, all of that. And, you know, I see them out there, Ford Raptors and the nice houses and the boats and And I'm like, you don't understand those things that you think that are freeing you are tying you down.
Chains.
Way more than you even know.
That's right.
Because if you wouldn't have those things for 3 to 5 years, you'd have money in the bank. You could start investing into real estate, have your money make you money. Like there's money, like I said, creates opportunities. Every business deals with their struggles.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What's like one of the biggest struggles in your space that you see?
So you've got a space that is really, I mean, turn on YouTube and at any given time, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be real estate and some guru telling you how to do it.
Sure. Yeah. I mean,
so you compete
sexy,
with, you compete with people all day long that say, well, why would I join a franchise, have this ongoing royalty when I can just come over here and pay this guy a few $100 or a few $1,000 and no ties attached, go do it and I'll just go build my business. And you can, you absolutely can. And so we have conversations with individuals like this all the time. And I would say because of our direction, what we're looking for, Joe Homebuyer, our franchise, is to grow with people that fit culturally first, because the process should take care of itself. If we're really that good and we know how to get from A to Z, how to turn on marketing to the ultimate point of exiting on whether you wholesaled it, fix and flipped it, or kept it as a rental, we should be good enough that really what we need to do is grow with the right people to make sure that that brand stays strong, that we're doing it the right way, because there's plenty of people that don't do it the right way. It has a bad rap. anytime you hear about investors, they're like, oh, you're those guys. You're those guys that just rob people all this money. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, you guys, you probably, maybe someone has done that. You're probably right. But we just don't do it that way.
Mm.
Like, we are here to genuinely serve each and every one of our clients. And that's first and foremost. Whether we get the deal or not, we're going to go in there and listen to them like it's our mom and dad saying they lost their job. Like, it's our mom and dad that says we're getting a divorce. Like, it's our mom and dad that says, hey, you know what? We found out we're battling this and we got to move in the next 6 months. Like, we're treating that first. And yeah. if we have a solution that's good enough, the byproduct is we get a home at a discount. But that's yeah. after serving and just genuinely loving these people. So when you say trouble or struggle, challenges, what is the biggest yeah. challenge? The biggest yeah. challenge is this is not something you turn on and you just grow to 1,000 franchises tomorrow. Nor by design do we want that.
Yeah.
Because I want to grow with the highest caliber individuals that are humble, that are honest, that have a heart for others, and that have hunger. Like, that's our motto. Like, that's what we live by. This yeah. is, these are the values of what set us apart on why me and Mark continue to win with our business. We tied it down to these principles, and we make sure people fit within this culture, yeah. within these values. We want someone to have that white belt mentality that always says, I'm here to learn. I don't know it all. That's a great person. Mm. Versus someone that calls in and says, well, yeah, I just, you know what? I want to get into this. I want to make so much money. I want a Lamborghini by the end of the year. I'm like,
yeah.
See ya. Like, yeah. not your people. Like, you're not going to grow with me. So it's, I guess our biggest challenge is you want the whole world to know about it, but you can't grow it that fast. Mm. So we're into it 3 years. We're at 95 territories. We're not at 250 like we wish we could be. And it's because we say no more to more people than we do yes. And that sounds crazy. It's like, why would you turn down business? Just because it doesn't fit.
The screening process of it. Yeah. Well, I mean, if it's people that you have to interact with.
Correct.
Right? Like, we have quite this screening process on our mastermind.
Yeah.
And I tell people, I'm like, I have to hang out with you 4 times a year. Like, we have quarterly meetups.
Yeah.
And I'm a big believer in creating the environment and then just putting yourself in it, and the environment will do a lot of the work.
Yeah.
A large part of the work, right? I mean, if I wanted to, you know, learn Spanish, if I moved to Mexico, I'd probably do that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Right? Because I can put myself in that environment, immerse myself.
Yeah.
Right? If I have to show up in that environment 4 times a year and hang out with you for a couple of days,
yeah.
You better be a high value person, an individual with integrity,
right.
because charge my battery, don't drain it.
Associate
with you, right? And so that was the whole point of that, is screening the type of people that you do business with because you have to do business with them.
That's right.
Right? And so either individuals are contributing. There's a lot of people that say yes to business that they shouldn't be saying yes to because of the money, but the situation, 2 + 2 = 4 on the situation.
That's right.
The mental energy that you're having to put into it, the stress, the load that you have to bear in dealing with certain people isn't worth the money, yeah. right? There's an equation here that we have to measure out. And the best way to determine that is by having a set of values, right? Eventually, you'll just start attracting the type of people that should be with you,
right?
The sleazeballs of the industry, they're gonna go do what they're gonna do anyways. And the fact is like, it doesn't matter what industry that you're in, dude. Like, I mean, there's great teachers in school and there's great police officers. Guess what? There's bad teachers. There's bad police officers. Sure. But like, there's great real estate coaches or franchise, and there's bad ones too.
That's right.
Right. Like, where are we putting our focus? Right.
That's right.
Like, there, if it's something that somebody wanted to do, how would they go about doing that? Like, what qualifies somebody to say, okay, I want to start looking into this industry and know more about it? Like, what would I have to have if Trevor says, okay, I want to become, you know, an individual that does real estate, wholesale, flipping, that and want to talk about a franchise? What would make me a qualified individual versus yep. unqualified? Is there like, I have to have $100,000 in the bank, I have to have that, you know, like that type of thing too. Obviously the values have to line up as
sure.
as you talked about,
sure.
but like,
experience can change how much money, but we go through a large amount of our leads or people that close with us come through a broker system. So that's the best thing, is it's set up, is you've got brokers out there
yeah.
that sell for 50, not sell for, but represent 50 different brands. And they say, hey, what do you want to do, Trevor? Well, I really want to get into real estate. Awesome. We represent this one called Joe Homebuyer. Let me get you in contact with their sales team so you can go over that. Does that sound good? Sounds good. So that's the system. how it is for franchising.
Okay.
Where I've done and changed it is grow on social media presence. I had a company that I sold in 2020 as Wholesaling Inc. It was the largest wholesaling coaching platform in the nation.
Mm.
It was incredible. Like, it was like the funnest time of my life.
That's cool.
But I hated that it was like some, they would do a deal. It's only a $5,000 product. So some, they would do a deal and they would just do one deal, and then you'd talk to them 6 months later, because that's all the program was built to do. It wasn't for scaling. It was to help you get your first wholesale.
Yeah.
So they would do that. And then 6 months later, like, oh, I'm back to my job. I just could never turn it into a business. Or some people say, it just didn't work out for me. I didn't have money to keep mm-hmm. spending on marketing. And that crushed me. Like, I was like, ah. Oh. So that's what got me where I'm like, no, I want to help these mm-hmm. guys scale to $1 million business. I don't want them to just do a one and done, or I haven't done my job.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where Joe Homebuyer was born in the first place. These brokers come in, if they have zero absolute experience, yeah, we ask for $150,000. There's going to be a $50,000 towards just the franchise fee, and then we want $100,000 of runway. What happens is people want to get in. It's sexy to get into entrepreneurship. It's sexy to get into real estate. What's not sexy is when you have only $50,000 in the bank and you spend $10,000 because that's what it's going to take to turn on marketing. Subway, it's kind of easier. It's like, oh, I just bought buns and meat.
Yeah.
And I can see it. I can physically see that I have to sell this stuff. You don't get buns and meat in real estate. It's I'm putting out $10,000 in marketing and I'm just going to do this and hope it comes back. When they see bank account go from 50 to 40, most employees will be like, oh, I've never seen this side of the coin before.
Yeah.
I've always just showed up and I just do my 9 to 5.
Yeah, it becomes real.
It's now fear.
Yeah.
And fear starts to become a wall. And wall starts to stop them from moving forward. And now they're just dead in the tracks. So we make sure they have enough budget in there so that they can feel comfortable and consistently. If they don't consistently market, there's nothing I can do for them. I mean, you have to consistently spend marketing dollars and you got to manage those leads that come in
The $50,000 that goes towards marketing or
goes towards just the franchise.
So the $100,000 goes towards?
That's your marketing, your startup expenses.
Gotcha.
And you're probably $10,000 a month going forward.
Gotcha.
Between marketing and just a couple softwares and things like that.
So is it $10,000 a month on top of the $100,000 or the $100,000?
That's just your bank. That's just your runway and you're tapping into that.
You're just making sure that you're making sure people are committed.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
Either you're playing the long game and you're playing to win, or we're not playing with you.
That's exactly right. I don't want someone that says, I have $20,000 in marketing. Will that work? I don't know, because I don't know if you were going to work.
Yeah.
But could I do it with $20,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's a lot easier to walk away from $5,000.
Yeah.
As you said, hey, that product, Wholesale E, this was $5,000.
Yeah.
And people, you would hit them up 6 months, they'd walk away.
That's right.
Right. You're not going to walk away from $150,000.
No.
You know, you're going to do everything that you can. And I don't think enough people put their back against a wall.
They don't. And when it is against the wall, it's interesting to see how many actually, not fight, actually flight. That's what's interesting to me, is when they know now there is an investment and how many buckle under that pressure, buckle under that fear, and just want to go back to comfort. That's the interesting thing to me is, man, you've got $50,000. You don't want to at least try and break even? Like, that's a big loss.
Yeah.
You'd rather go back to comfort, which is going to have a far painful future than breaking even and becoming someone that you currently are right now. Like, it may not be working because you need to become better.
You need to do something. You say comfort, but that's a delusional comfort.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be
100%.
It's a sense of comfort.
Yeah.
Not real comfort.
No, it's absolutely not.
So there was a reason why you initially started running away from it. And then the fear made you run back to it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you wouldn't have started running away from what you were currently experiencing if you didn't hate it.
That's right.
Right?
That's exactly.
And so I think that pain makes people forget why they do what they do, or fear makes people forget why they do what they... Anybody can start on a journey to get more fit, and then the pain kicks in, and then you forget why you started that journey. Anybody could start a journey of trying to start a business, and then the pain of the business makes them forget why they started the journey. We were all running away from something that we didn't want to continue, and we didn't want our future self to have to deal with.
That's right.
So we started defaulting over here and going down a different path. And unfortunately, that path's a lot steeper.
That's right.
And a lot bumpier. But at least there's a view on top that makes the ride worth it. And so how do people connect with you if they want to know more about
you know, franchise or just want to connect with you just in general.
Yep. Joe Homebuyer Franchising is another way if they want to look deeper into what that is, or just message me on Instagram. I'm not the one that hires out my messages. I do love to talk to my audience. Yeah. So Cody Hoffine is the handle for Instagram. That's where I'm most active. Facebook, I'd say my social media team, they know all my logins. I have no idea what they are.
Yeah.
Instagram's the only one that really resides on my phone that I connect with.
You did at least get one new follower today.
Oh, who is it?
Me.
Please tell me it's you, my friend.
It is. It is. Because
there's a string attached where I have to run 40 miles.
50. If you be back down here in July.
Mm.
So, anywho, it was good chatting with you. Good meeting you.
An honor.
Wish you many, many more years of success. And I don't think that you need me to do that. But you're a good man, and you brought a good crew with you. And, you know, hopefully Bentley and is learning a little bit on this trip and not just enjoying the, you know, sunny weather of St. George. So,
that's right.
Anywho, we hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you're rating, reviewing, connect with Cody. He's a good man. If you're looking to get into real estate, check out Joe
Homebuyer.
Kick ass, guys. We'll see you guys next week.